Hello and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. We hope you have enjoyed the past 2 days of our science article, SpaceX and Beyond. Let's recap before we start our topic for day three. Campbell, what are some things that have really stuck out to you in this article?
Well, I think this guy Elon Musk is quite the visionary. You know, some people write science fiction books and make science fiction movies, and they have all these ideas of what life could be like, and they just write about it, you know, and they create stories. But he's doing way more than just creating stories. He's actually taking these ideas and making them into reality. Just as an example, yesterday at the end, we learned that he wants to send humans to Mars by 2026, and then he wants to found a Mars colony by 2040.
All right, so everybody get ready to go to Mars. You might have your opportunity, right? Stephanie, how about you? We've learned so much about Elon Musk. What has stood out for you?
Well, for me, I think it's interesting with his invention of the electric cars, and that the reason that he wants to have more electric cars, he wants to get rid of gasoline cars because he wants to combat global climate change. So he wants to help the environment and make things better on Earth.
All right. And we also learned, of course, on day one that Elon Musk is involved in different companies, SolarCity, Zip2, PayPal, Tesla Motors, and of course, SpaceX. And today we are really focusing just on SpaceX, and there's more to learn about this company. And we have the phrase here in our title, zeroing in on SpaceX. What do we mean when we use that phrase, zeroing in on, Campbell?
It means that we're directing all of our attention towards a particular thing. So here in this case, we're going to be focusing our entire lesson today on SpaceX.
Now, Elon Musk does not focus all of his attention on one thing. Mm-hmm. He is focused on many different things. Mm-hmm. And so that is what makes him such an interesting figure, because he is involved in so many different things. And we can learn from that. And there are many good things that come from that. And I would suppose many challenges. And probably most people couldn't handle all of these, being involved in all of these different things, Campbell.
That's right, because it does take a lot of energy and a lot of attention, but he is able to cram a lot into his 24 hours.
All right, well, let's dig into day three of our article. If you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up to page 41, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Zeroing in on SpaceX. Serial entrepreneur Elon Musk formed SpaceX to pursue his ambition to colonize Mars. Already, he has aggressively muscled his way into the heavy rocket market, formerly dominated by Boeing and Lockheed Martin. And SpaceX has just opened an office in the Seattle area, where a team expected to grow to hundreds of engineers will design an ambitious satellite constellation. The key to anything that any space company does is relatively inexpensive access to space, said Marco Caceres, space industry analyst with the Thiel Group. The moment you see launch costs come down dramatically, you'll see a lot of companies popping up.
Okay, just a brief word about this article. You may be wondering why we are talking about SpaceX again here. Well, this is a separate article. As you see, this is from the Seattle Times, and so that's why we're mentioning this topic again, and it's laid out in this way. Well, as we start off here, we see again the word entrepreneur, but We also see a word before that, the word serial. Campbell, what does that mean when we talk about a serial entrepreneur?
When we talk about a serial something or someone, it's someone that does something repeatedly over and over again. Now, usually this is used in a negative way. For example, a serial murderer means someone that commits several murders in the same way over and over again. But here it's actually a good thing. He's an entrepreneur and he continuously creates new companies and continuously builds new businesses.
All right, and he forms SpaceX to pursue his ambition to colonize Mars, which we already learned about yesterday. And that word ambition means what, Stephanie?
His ambition is like his plan, something he really wants to do.
That's right. And if you're an ambitious person, that means that you are really going after something. You have a goal and you want to reach that goal and you're working hard to do so.
You're reaching for the stars.
That's right. So you have lots of ambition. Well, already he has aggressively muscled his way into the heavy rocket market. That word, muscled, Campbell.
It means to force your way into a situation so you're included. And sometimes it's a situation where maybe you haven't been invited or nobody really wants you there, but you're kind of just pushing yourself in there. So previously, this is kind of a closed market. It was mainly government-funded and government projects, but he's made his way in there.
Well, this seems like a comfortable position for him. It seems like he's muscled his way into lots of areas based on the different companies that he has started.
Mm-hmm.
And we see here that other people, other companies involved in the rocket market include Boeing and Lockheed Martin. Now, you're probably familiar with Boeing. We think of planes when we hear that word, right? And here, we're talking about rockets and the rocket market. And so these are other companies involved and the competition involved. And, well, what has SpaceX just done? What have they done recently?
They've just opened an office in the Seattle area where they're expecting to grow, have lots of people join a team, have hundreds of engineers come together and work together.
All right, so they want all of these engineers to come together there in Seattle to do what, Campbell?
Well, they wanted to design an ambitious satellite constellation.
All right, and so we see the word ambitious here used as an adjective, and then earlier we saw it as a noun. And here it just means that, you know, if you have an ambitious goal, it means it's not something that's easy to reach. It's a hard goal to reach. And so he has this goal of designing this satellite constellation. Now, when I think of the word constellation, I think of stars. What does it mean here?
Well, what it means here is a group together, formed together. So usually with stars, we have star constellations. So you have a couple stars formed together, put together. And with this one is with satellites. You have a group of satellites.
All right. So you have a group of satellites there that he wants to design. And then we hear from a man named Marco Casares. And he tells us that the key to anything that any space company does is relatively inexpensive access to space. The key here is inexpensive access, Campbell.
That's right. So just the idea that as it is easier and easier to send things into space, then more and more people are going to be doing that and taking advantage of that. I think the key word here, though, is relatively inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still expensive.
That's right.
It's still in the millions. It's never going to go down to like the thousands or just, you know,
hundreds.
Okay. So it is expensive, but relatively. Right. So instead of, you know, $100 million, it's going to cost you $30 million.
That's right. It's still expensive. That's true. But it is much cheaper than it could be. Well, the moment you see launch costs come down dramatically, you'll see a lot of companies popping up. This is, again, according to Marco Casares. And so, you know, when those prices are coming down, more companies want to get involved. And so that's why we have the phrase popping up there.
Yeah, usually when something becomes popular or in demand that people want, then you have companies that suddenly appear that also will help you develop, get what you want.
Okay, so that term popping up just means that something appears or happens suddenly and maybe even unexpectedly, and that is what is happening here in the rocket business. So the plan is to form those satellites and have that satellite constellation, and that is Musk's plan for now there at SpaceX. Well, let's learn about how SpaceX is cutting costs in our next reading for today.
Cutting costs. Founded in 2002, SpaceX has already slashed the cost of space access. Kosras said the launch of a Boeing Delta IV heavy rocket to launch a big military satellite costs $350 million or more. A Lockheed Atlas V launch for smaller payloads cost at least $150 million. SpaceX, by contrast, lists its Falcon 9 rocket launches at about $70 million, he said. Having disrupted the launch business, the ever-moving Musk is now progressing to satellites. He has talked about initially hiring about 60 engineers for the new Seattle area office and potentially growing that base to as many as 1,000 within 5 years. Musk plans a constellation of more than 4,000 low Earth orbit satellites that will provide planet-wide broadband internet access. If the project progresses to the manufacturing stage, it's likely he'll look for state incentives to locate a factory to build the satellites. Still, the engineering work alone is a huge boost for Washington. Alex Peach, who heads Governor Jay Inslee's Office of Aerospace, said state officials are excited at the chance to further diversify the aerospace industry here.
Okay, so here we learn when SpaceX was founded, and that was in 2002. And what has SpaceX already done, Kimball?
Well, it has slashed the cost of space access. So earlier we were talking, we heard from Marco Kosaris. He's a space industry analyst. He was saying that the moment you see launch costs come down dramatically, you'll see a lot of companies popping up. So we see now that SpaceX is actually bringing down the cost of launching things into space.
All right, and that word slash, we use that with prices a lot. You know, maybe you see an advertisement and they're saying we've slashed prices, meaning that they've reduced the price. And that's exactly what SpaceX has done. And so they make a comparison here with other companies. They talk about the Boeing Delta IV heavy rocket, and they say that Carcher said the launch of a Boeing Delta IV heavy rocket to launch a big military satellite costs $350 million or more. And so you see the word launch there twice, and it's a little bit confusing, Campbell.
That's right. So when we the first launch is talking about the rocket itself. So we're launching the Boeing Delta IV heavy rocket into space, and on this rocket is there. This rocket is carrying a military satellite, and so once this rocket gets into space, they're going to launch this military satellite into space.
So there's a lot of launching going on here, right? And it costs a lot of money. And then we see that a Lockheed Atlas V launch for smaller payloads costs at least $150 million. So that's a drop from $350 million, but still tons of money. And then we have a word here that I'm not familiar with, and it's the word payload. What does that mean, Stephanie?
The payload is the amount or weight that an aircraft carries.
Okay. And so, you know, the smaller amount of weight. And so I guess that's why it doesn't cost as much. Well, SpaceX, by contrast, looks very different, right, Campbell?
SpaceX, by contrast, lists its Falcon 9 rocket launches at about $70 million.
All right, so you can very easily compare the prices there. You see 350, 150 to 70 million. And so that's why this section is entitled Cutting Costs, because that's what SpaceX is doing. And the Falcon 9, you can see a picture there on page 41. This is another view of it. We also see a picture there on page 38 of the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, and it's huge. And anyway, we see that they are cutting prices, and it's costing only $70 million.
Only.
Well, it's a big difference compared to that $350 million.
Right. So that's what it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, relatively inexpensive.
That's the key word. Well, having disrupted the launch business, the ever-moving Musk is now progressing to satellites. So this man, he never stops, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you disrupt something, that means you change things, you break it up, right, Campbell?
That's right. So you are constantly challenging things and trying to make things better or cheaper or faster, trying to make things better.
All right. And so he is looking into satellites now, and he has talked about initially hiring about 60 engineers for this new Seattle area office. And what does he want to do there, Stephanie?
He wants to have up to as many as 1,000 engineers within 5 years. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And here, again, we see that this man is a visionary. He knows how many engineers he wants and how many it will take to complete the task, possibly. And so he's a planner, of course. He could not accomplish all of these things. And I also want to go back to the point that, you know, he's not doing all of this by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what a visionary does. They cast the vision, and they inspire people to get involved and come alongside and help to complete that vision, which mm-hmm. is so important. If you try to do all of these things, you could not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So teamwork, again, is very important, right, Campbell?
That's right. Actually, for any successful entrepreneur, if you think about, you know, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, as we mentioned on the first day, all these people, the reason they're successful is because they know how to inspire people and to get people to work together. You know, they know about leverage, because every one of us, we only have 24 hours, you know, so there's only so much we can do. But the reason that Elon Musk and all these other successful entrepreneurs are able to do so much is because they know how to leverage and to motivate people to work together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good point, Campbell. Well, Stephanie, what exactly is Musk planning to do when it comes to this satellite constellation?
Well, he plans a constellation of more than 4,000 low Earth orbit satellites. So that's 4,000 satellites that will provide planet-wide broadband internet access.
This sentence here is just mind-boggling. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of planet-wide broadband internet access, you know, he is just crossing borders that we have never seen before, and he thinks way outside the box,
mm-hmm.
and you know, pun intended there, because of course he is going into space and he's mm-hmm. going beyond the borders and everything of Earth and so forth, but he is really planning to do things that are helping people, and this could help maybe a lot of people who don't have internet access.
Yeah, it's funny how the world has changed, because I mean, when we were kids, there's no such thing as the internet, you know, and now the idea
I had it. I'm very young.
Yeah, right. So the idea, as I was saying, is that, you know, it's interesting how the internet has now become something that helps people, and it does. And I just imagine if everywhere you go, there's internet. You can get Wi-Fi anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of people who are in, you know, poor countries, mm-hmm. and maybe they have a cell phone and, you know, they can have internet access, you know, through this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's great. You know, it can help people all over the world. And so we'll have to see, you know, what happens with that. It seems very far-fetched, I guess.
Right.
But in these days, when it comes to technology, so many things are happening at such a rapid pace. So it really doesn't surprise me that much.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think. I mean, I think a lot of us don't ever think about the fact that, you know, we're communicating with space every day. You know, every time we use our smartphones, every time we go on the internet, every time, you know, we call someone, or even right now as you're listening to us, it's probably being sent through a satellite out in space, you know. And so this is actually a part of our everyday life.
Well, if this project progresses to the manufacturing stage, it's likely he'll look for state incentives to locate a factory to build the satellites. And so they're not yet to that manufacturing stage, but they hope to get help from the state there. That word incentives just means that, you know, the government will get involved and provide some money, right?
That's right. And considering they need to build 4,000 satellites, they need a lot of help.
All right. And they want to, you know, find a factory and to start building the satellites. All right. But still, the engineering work alone is a huge boost for Washington. So it's helping the state of Washington as well, Campbell.
That's right. Well, it's providing jobs. Remember, the idea here is to go from 60 engineers to 1,000 engineers. So that's 1,000 people that will have jobs. And jobs is good. Having jobs is a good thing, and it creates a better economy.
That's true. So the state of Washington, they're excited, I'm sure, to, you know, have these extra jobs. And we hear from Alex Peach, who heads Governor Jay Inslee's Office of Aerospace. And he said that state officials are excited at this chance to further diversify the aerospace industry there in Washington state. So, yes, they want these extra jobs to come in, and they're very excited about all of that. And we are very excited about this article because we've learned so much about Elon Musk and all of the different things that he is doing. And before we go today, I want to ask our panelists just to let all of you know what they find most interesting about this man, Elon Musk. Campbell, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think he is quite an extraordinary man. He has accomplished quite a lot in his lifetime and is definitely someone I look up to.
Okay, he has accomplished a lot. And there's a lot that we can learn from him as a result. Stephanie, your thoughts?
Well, I'm very excited about his inventions and things that he's involved in, especially the solar panel with Solar City, that he's building the solar panel so we can get free electricity, and also with the electric cars where he's getting rid of the gasoline cars so it's better for the environment.
Okay.
I think the environment's very important.
All right. That's great. Well, which one of the things that we've talked about would you be most likely to use? Because we've talked about the Hyperloop and the Tesla cars, and, you know, we've also talked about the possibility of going to Mars. You know, that's not something you would use, but something you would do. So which one of these things attracts you the most, Campbell?
Well, definitely the Hyperloop is very interesting. I have friends in San Francisco and friends in Los Angeles, so it would be interesting to be able to travel between the two within a half hour, if that really does work. Of course, I do want my own Tesla one day. I think that would be really interesting to be able to drive an electric car and not have to worry about gas and things like that.
Yeah, when you get home, you just plug it up and just like your cell phone and recharge, and it's ready to go the next day. How about you, Stephanie? What is something that you would like to use from what we've talked about in this article?
Well, I like the electric cars because I love driving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and you don't have to go to the gas station to fill up on gas. You can go to one of the, you know, the public charging stations that they may have, or of course charge at home, as I said before. I would also like to use one of the cars there, because I think, you know, that may save me some money in the long run. You don't have to fill up on gas. Of course, they do cost a lot of money, as we learned yesterday, from $101,500 one of the cars cost. But then, you know, one coming out hopefully in 2017 that will start off at $35,000. So that's encouraging news, because the cars are hopefully getting cheaper, meaning that there will be more available to people. And so maybe one day they will be available to all, and that will save us all, hopefully, a lot of money. Well, we want to invite you to check out our Topic Talks videos, and you can simply scan the QR codes there in the article. We have an introduction, we have insight, features, and Get It Right, and these appear in each article. You can also go on to our website, studioclassroom.com, to view our Topic Talks videos. While you're there on our website, we would like to hear feedback from you about this article. And there's so much involved here that I'm sure many of you have your own opinions and thoughts about this article. So please write in to us there on the website at studioclassroom.com and let us know your thoughts. And we hope you will join us again next time for Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon.
This is Campbell.
Stephanie.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.